This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Violent resistance to the occupation of Iraq is growing. The Al Jazeera news channel today showed video of three Japanese who were kidnapped in Iraq. Their captors said the hostages would be killed if Japan did not pull its troops out of Iraq. Eight South Koreans also are being held hostage. Elsewhere, U.S. and allied forces are struggling to put down separate uprisings by Sunni and Shiite Muslim insurgents. The most intense fighting continues west of Baghdad in the Sunni stronghold of Fallujah. A U.S. assault began there Monday when Marines surrounded the city of 200,000 after last week's brutal murder of four American contractors. NPR's Ann Garrels is in Baghdad. What more do you know about the fighting in Fallujah?
Well, first of all, here in Baghdad, there have been calls from Sunni mosques across the city for people to resist the occupation, the U.S. occupation, and donate money and blood to help the resistance fighters in Fallujah. And thousands of protesters have traveled to the edges of Fallujah to support those inside. So far, they've been kept out by barbed wire and armed Marines. The director of the Fallujah City Hospital says at least 280 Iraqis have been killed since the U.S. assault began early Monday, with more than 400 wounded. And he said there are also unknown numbers of dead and wounded that can't be reached because of the ongoing fighting. 15 Marines are known to have been killed in the area since the operation began. But the military is not providing an official toll, and we don't have any official sort of details on the fighting from this morning.
What's the latest on the Shiite uprising?
Well, fighters loyal to Muqtada Sadr, the young Shiite cleric, continue to take on U.S.-led forces across central and southern Iraq. The spiral of violence started last week when the U.S. closed down Sadr's newspaper and arrested one of his top aides. And Sadr has vowed to turn Iraq into another Vietnam. There are efforts by various Iraqi officials to get Sadr to turn himself in, with assuring him he'll get fair treatment and access to lawyers. But so far, there's no indication he's willing to do this. In the meantime, though, allied and U.S.-trained Iraqi security forces appear to have lost control of key southern cities. The Ukrainians have been forced to move out of Kut. Sadr's men now control the holy city of Najaf. And overnight, Polish and Bulgarians fought Shiite militia in the holy city of Karbala. There are reports that Shiite militiamen loyal to Sadr are now in control of that city. Bulgaria has asked the U.S. to send troops to reinforce its battalion there. Across the south, there are reports that government buildings, police stations, and other installations have been overrun. And in Baghdad, there was fighting in several neighborhoods overnight. There have been blasts this morning. The city's crawling with U.S. and Iraqi patrols. And I spoke to one U.S. official, you know, who asked not to be identified, who confessed he had no idea where the situation was going. He acknowledged that months of efforts to win over the population appear to have failed, at least with certain segments of the population.
Now, the U.S. has called Sadr an outlaw. Any indication how the Americans plan to deal with him?
No. U.S. forces so far have made no attempt to capture him to make good on their arrest warrant. His aides say he's in the holy city of Najaf, and under any circumstances, this would be explosive. It would be explosive for troops to move into that city, which is home to shrines holy to Shiites. But the situation is particularly delicate right now because it's the eve of a major Shiite holiday, and pilgrims are arriving by the hundreds of thousands. Iraqis are blaming the U.S. for sparking these problems with Sadr by first closing his newspaper and then arresting one of his aides. They say the U.S. unnecessarily cornered him. And they're very confused by the timing of the U.S. move on Sadr, and they're confused by the U.S. announcement that there's been an arrest warrant out for him for months in connection with the killing of another Shiite cleric. Sadr is generating a lot of sympathy, not just from his followers, but from many Shiites who don't normally support him. And he's also becoming a hero for many Sunnis who've long been battling the U.S.
So it appears that for the first time since the U.S. invasion a year ago, Sunnis and Shiites are working together to oppose the American occupation.
Well, I'm hearing this more and more from Iraqis, though evidence of Sunni and Shiite fighters actually working together is still pretty limited, and we have to be cautious about that. But overnight, fighting spread to areas of western Baghdad where residents are telling me that Sunni and Shiites joined together. Ultimately, Shia and Sunni are competing for power, but I'm hearing across the board in poor, middle-class, rich neighborhoods a shared growing disillusionment with the U.S. occupation, its handling of the political transition, which is still slated for June. Many feel locked out. Others criticize what they call America's heavy-handed tactics. They denounce the civilian deaths. The leading Shiite cleric, Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, issued a written statement last night. Finally, he condemned in particular the U.S. approach to dealing with the Shiite uprisings, though he did call for both sides to pursue a peaceful resolution.
NPR's Ann Garrels in Baghdad.